And in a sense, we're celebrating Epiphany early, because that's the next season we come to after the Christmas season, the season of Epiphany, when we remember the visit of the Magi. We don't have a special service here on the 6th of January, so we're remembering that this morning. The term Magi, there's many different ideas of where they are. Paul shared some of them with you on Christmas morning. Part of a tribe, was it, that had gone into? Yeah.
From Babylon.
That's right. Yeah, that was a possibility of where they'd come from, following on from that. Certainly the root of Magi comes, it's the same root that we have magician from as well, but they were definitely people who studied the stars. One thing is for certain, whatever their background, they understood what the sign of the star meant. It meant that the King of the Jews had been born, and they had set out to seek him. And I want us to think about that just for a few moments this morning, that they knew from their scriptures that this is what it meant, or from their teachings, they knew what it was, that this star meant that this new king, and they wanted to see him, they wanted to find him. And so they set out in order that they could find him. And when Herod heard the news, of course, he called all the wise men of the area, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the others. He gathered them together and he said, "Where is this Christ to be born?" And they knew their scriptures. And they could tell him immediately, because they knew what the prophet Micah had written. And they said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, from you will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So they knew it. They knew the scriptures. But they didn't rush to find him. Now, isn't that interesting? That the ones who knew, the ones who had the truth in their hands, they didn't go to find him. But the ones who didn't have the truth at that time, but they came to seek him. And so the question this morning for us is, are we truly seeking Jesus? Are we truly wanting to know more about him, to discover more about him, to understand him more? Are we seeking him in his word? Are we seeking him in prayer? Are we sharing together in fellowship and honing one another and sharpening one another from each other? Or are we just happy to come along and sit and listen and then go home again and then that's it for another week? You know, these are really pertinent questions. Just because we have the scriptures, just because we perhaps read them, if we don't read them with intention of actually changing and following and knowing more about God and allowing him by the power of his Holy Spirit to transform us and change us, what's the point? We're not really following Jesus, are we? We're not really seeking him. But these Magi, that was what they did. They came to find him. And that's a challenge for us. And not only did they come to find him, they also brought him gifts. Now, those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh are a sermon in themselves, and we've heard many times the different symbolic significance of the gifts. They symbolized his life and his ministry. But these men, I'm sure they were men. I don't know. There might have been some women with them, but anyway. They came and they brought their gifts before him. We know that there were more than three. We do know that. What about us? And this brings us back to the word that Helen brought to us about how Jesus said to the disciples, "You go and give what you have." And the word that Kate Coleman gave to us 10 years ago, what have you got in your hand that you can use? What have we got that God wants us to give back to him in order that he can use it in the community where he has placed us? What have we got that we can give to the community in order that they might know Jesus? And that doesn't mean necessarily going out knocking on doors and asking people if they've been saved. It's the simple things of stopping and having a conversation and listening with somebody, maybe saying to them, "Well, I'll pray about that." Telling them, living our life that the light of Christ shines through us so that we make a difference where we are. I just moved, as you know, and the other day I looked out of the bedroom window and there was a big pile of rubbish that had been dumped. And it was a blight on the countryside. And I was looking at it again this morning, and I thought, I need to go out there and I need to sort that. At least put it into some bags. It's been reported, and I know the council will deal with it. But that was something that God was saying to me that I could do to make a difference where I live, to make a difference to the other people around, not only in the neighbourhood immediately, but those that walk up and down past there, for whom the beauty has been marred because of the thoughtlessness and selfishness of somebody else. But we can make a difference and combat that. And that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be a light that shines brightly in the darkness. But he calls us also to use the giftings that he has given and to offer ourselves to him. I don't know if any of you have still got the little cards that we gave out a few years ago that had a prayer for Christmas Day and a prayer for New Year's Day. As many of you know, I'm a hoarder. I find it really difficult to throw anything away, so I did still have these and was looking at them again this year. Just that reminder, the one for New Year, says about lighting the candle and us doing so, giving our diaries, ourselves, our gifts, everything to him. And it seemed to be one thing after another that God was confirming the message that he wanted for us this morning, being willing to give back to God what he has already given to us. Because God has given the greatest gift, of course, hasn't he? As we remembered in our prayer there for the offerings this morning, the gift of his son. And finally, they were the wise men, the magi. They were listening to God and they were obedient to what he told them. God warned them in a dream to go back a different way, not to go back to Herod. Herod had said, you know, come and tell me so that I can worship him. He had no intention of worshiping him. He wanted to kill him. And we find that later when all the baby boys of 2 years and under were killed because they wanted to eradicate Jesus. Of course, that could never be. But and so they were warned by God to go back a different way. And for us, God sometimes shows us a different way. We talk, you know, don't we, about returning to normal. Things are getting a bit more back to normality. We perhaps hear people say. The reality is that we will never get back to life as it was pre-COVID. That is something that we have to acknowledge and accept, that life will be different going forward. It doesn't mean to say it will be any less joyful. It doesn't mean to say that it will be any less full of one another and the fellowship and what we share and enjoy together. What it does say is that it will be different. And what we do as a fellowship will be different. We are finding that we are having to look at ways that we can do things in sharing the gospel in a way that is different to how we have done them before. We're going to be thinking about that in a few moments later on in our service. But what it needs for us to do that is for everybody to be on board, for everybody to be working together as a team, for everybody to be seeking and encouraging and nurturing and building one another up in the faith. There is not one of us that can do it on our own. We have to do it together. And that's part of our walk with God. And these magi, they were walking with God. They were listening to what he was saying. God told them to go back a different way, and they were willing to do that. And because they were willing to go back a different way, God kept them safe. And that's something for us to learn from, that if we are willing to be obedient to God, and that means doing things differently, God will keep us safe.
Titled The Wise Man's Journey. There will be no camels. We are going on horseback, at least for some of the way. And we won't arrive there a few hours after everyone else. It will be weeks, perhaps, or maybe months. We are not in a hurry. That is not the way we work. We are not Europeans. We will discuss the phenomenon, the star, and if it does not go away, and if we still feel curious, we will travel. We will look in the wrong place. Yes, I admit that, because wise men, potentates, intellectuals, call us what you will, are not infallible. We expect a new power to emerge from the side of the old one. We expect the destination we seek to resemble what our common sense deduces. We will be upset, angry even, to find that Herod is ignorant and that his living space is not the birthplace. We will find it hard and intellectually demeaning to bow the knee to the son of refugees. And all this upset will be compounded when it comes to journeying back and we discover we have to go home by another way. That's the trouble with God. He does not let you leave as you came. He sends you back, stripped of your presumptions, making for home by another way.
To the newborn king. Yes, we may have made a commitment to the Lord recently, some time ago, a long time ago. But that's not the end, is it? It's a continual process of sharing with him, of giving our heart to him day by day, of putting down ourselves and making ourselves available to what Christ wants to do. And allowing him to be at work in us and through us where he has placed us. We rejoice in that ever-present Jesus with us wherever we are. He remains in human form. I was reading a book through Advent. It was daily readings, and it was called The Unexpected Christmas. And that centered around this whole aspect of Jesus remaining in human form. We talked about him laying aside his majesty when he came. But there's part of us perhaps that thinks, well, then he went back into glory and he was back there as he was before. But he wasn't, because he's seated at the right hand of the Father now. And there he intercedes for us day by day. Because he took on the humanity, he didn't give away his divinity. He didn't put that to one side. He took on humanity as well. So he's 100% divine, 100% human. Because he took on that humanity, he knows our trials. He knows the difficulties. He knows our joys and our successes as well. He understands them. And he intercedes for us at the hand of the Father. And therefore we know that God is for us. God will work for us as we seek to offer him. But this is the greatest gift of all, that we can bring to him the gift of our hearts day by day. And if you've not yet done that, if in all the times of coming to church and hearing the word, and it's, yeah, that's good, and these are okay people that I'm being with, we haven't actually finally made that point of saying, Lord, I believe that when you died on the cross at Calvary, you died for me. You paid the penalty for my sin. And I ask you now to come and dwell in me. If you've not yet done that, then I would urge you seriously to consider and to know the joy and the fullness of offering your heart to God, of what that can bring into your life. And that is the message that we have. That is the message that God has given us that we need to share in the community, that others too may come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. This year, as a fellowship, we continue to move forward with God in this new time that we have. We, as you know, have kept our prayer meetings on Zoom, and we'll continue to do that. And also the Bible study, that will continue again. We're picking that up again in February. Will be on Zoom. But if there are those who want to meet physically, who want to meet face to face, then please speak with us. We're willing to do that. It's just that nobody's taken us up on the offer so far. But if you feel that this is what God is wanting you to do, even if it's just two or three, then the ministers are available and willing to lead and guide and take you through. Or there may be others who want to lead, and we can work alongside that as well. who want to lead in sharing around the truth of God's word. Our Messy Church and Cafe Church, they've started again in different format than what they were pre-COVID, and we continue with those and we build on them. And Cafe Church will continue through these next 12 months on the third Sunday of each month, as we've done, and the two that we've trialled already, we know that they will be okay, and we'll go forward with those. And Messy Church, again, we had I wasn't here, but I know they had a good number that came in December. Those numbers are building up, and that's something that we're working together with and moving forward as a team for that. WOW is also back. But we're finding that the other things, perhaps we're having to do in smaller groups. So we found that the Christmas afternoon tea, that worked well. People really enjoyed that. It was different to what it would have been pre-COVID. We know that. It was much quieter, smaller numbers, but that seems to be the way forward. And so we're planning more of those events, times for us to meet together safely in fellowship. And so on Tuesday, Derek and Paul are arranging a New Year and Christmas and New Year quiz. So do come along. It's from 2 till 3:30. Don't worry if you're not good at quizzes. You can sit on a table and let everybody else answer the questions. So it's okay. It's just a time of fellowship in a safe place and doing so. And I understand there are fantastic prizes. So, you know, that's a pull if nothing else, isn't it? What else can we do? What have we got that we can offer to be able to do things differently and to share, to encourage one another and to build one another up in the faith, but also to put the message out? It's been lovely to see the nativity on the lawn that I'm sure people have seen as they've gone past, the nativity scene that's out there, and also the little posts that there are around for the children and adults. I know adults have enjoyed looking at them as well, and the different things to follow. And we've done those through, well, Elizabeth's done them, through the year at Easter, and in the summer, did you do one, Elizabeth?
Yeah,
I
did a beach
trail in the summer. That's right, yeah. So, you know, these are gifts that are being used, and they are sharing the message. What are you able to do? We ran a survey, a questionnaire thing. It's over 12 months ago now, where we looked at what our giftings were, and we're wanting to move forward with that, encourage people to move into their spiritual giftings. But there are natural giftings as well that God has given us. But when we offer them to him, then they're under his anointing and they become special that God can use within his kingdom. And this is where God is calling us to. This is what he's asking us to do, to travel with him, to move forward with him in this time of coming in this 2022. I was going through some, well, lots of papers having moved, and one of the things I came across was some papers about Clifford, and I realised that it'll be 10 years this coming year since Clifford went to be with the Lord. And I know that many people were quite concerned at the time of where Roman Road would be then, because he had been the mainstay for over 60 years as minister here. And God has brought us through that time. It has been a time of change. It's been a time of transformation. It's been a time of others of us growing up into positions and giftings and things like that. But now I believe that, you know, we're being moved on again. A few years ago, I was saying that God was leading us out into the community. And that has been so. And I know many of you in the walking group and in other groups and working with Macedonia are doing that, are making connections in the community. But there is always room for more. And maybe some of us who don't live in this immediate community can be used by God in the communities where we are placed. Doesn't all have to be centred here in Failsworth, but this church is a way of building up to enable communities elsewhere to benefit from the love of God. So there's a whole raft of things, which is really, really exciting, of what God is wanting to do amongst us. And so as we meet and share during this coming year, this is what we're going to be looking at and bringing out a whole package of things that we can do to work together. Primarily, though, is that Bible study and the prayer of seeking God. That's where we need to begin. It's not just us having good ideas of ourselves. It's seeking God and what it is that he is wanting us to do, and then following in obedience, having offered our gifts to him, following in obedience to where it is that he wants us to go. Let us pray.